better serve their communities and to deliver the benefits of a clean energy future, electric utilities are transforming, making the grid smart by harnessing the power of data. To make this happen, utilities must have secure, private, utility-grade broadband connectivity to carry and protect their critical data. At Anterix, we provide the private wireless broadband platform that enables grid modernization, advancing utilities both individually and collectively as they realize the scale benefits of a nationwide ecosystem of utility communication networks.
To learn more, visit Anterix.com.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection, where the worlds of energy and technology come together.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection, which is presented today by Anterix. For those of you listening for the very first time, welcome. And for those returning listeners, welcome back. Well, I'm Cheryl Riggs, the President and CEO of UTC. And today I have a wonderful, very special, esteemed guest, Sheila Hollis. I am going to tell you a little bit about Sheila Hollis. It's an amazing background. She is the Acting Executive Director of the United States Energy Association, which USEA, I want to make sure we get the acronym in case you see it in the acronym for a format. But for decades, Sheila has been at the forefront of energy law. She helped found the Duane Morris LLP Washington, D.C. office and its Energy, Environment, and Resources Practice Group. She began her energy career as a trial lawyer at the Federal Power Commission and was one of the founding directors of the Office of Enforcement of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is FERC. Later, she became the first female president of the Energy Bar Association and president of the Women's Council of Energy and Environment, which named her Woman of the Year in 2003. She was unstoppable. She has been chair of many organizations, including the Federal Bar Association's Energy and Environment section, the American Bar Association section of Environment, Energy, and Resources, the Center for American International Law, American Friends of the Royal Society, Institute for the Advancement of American Law, and USEA. Prior to becoming acting executive director, she also holds trustee positions with the Center for American International Law and Plymouth Plantation. She has fostered the next generation as well, and she's done this in many ways, teaching law at George Washington University for over 20 years while authoring text on energy law and taking on personal mentor roles to people like myself. She has been honored by the American Bar Association and the National Law Journal, additionally named as one of the top 100 lawyers in Washington, D.C., and one of the top 50 women in Washington super lawyers. She has been awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award by Platts Global Energy and the London-based Petroleum Economist publication. It goes without saying that her contributions to the energy industry have had a significant impact. And I tell you, not many of us can even say there's a line to even continue to give her honors. UTC is on that line. We're turning 75 and we will be honoring trailblazers and people who have helped champion UTC and the efforts for many years. And Sheila is definitely one of those. So thank you again, Sheila, for joining us. I want to know if you have anything else you want to share.
Well, one thing, and that is, it was one of the real treats is to get to know Cheryl. And that's one of the benefits that you never could have planned for. But it has been wonderful. And she's been very helpful to me in understanding the very significant role that the technology side, communication side plays, and sort of it's the lifeline, the essential element that without which we can have all the fancy facilities on Earth, but if we can't communicate adequately amongst them and with them, then they become useless to us. So that's really it. And frankly, I was aware of it, but I had not really fully comprehended the tremendous significance of it until Cheryl took the time to meet with me and kind of lay it out.
Well, I'm honored because actually I was the one saying, "Woo!" She took the time to meet with me. So I've learned so many things. I probably could write my own book on just what Sheila has taught me about the industry as well. the different roles that our brother sister trade associations work, how we work together, government entities, and the legal aspects, the compliance, the regulatory side. So she has helped me tremendously, and hopefully I've been able to share some of that knowledge with the staff and our members. But like I just mentioned, brother sister trade associations, we definitely consider USEA to be one of them. And like USEA, UTC, we represent all members, large and small, from across the energy industry. So can you tell us a little bit about how you ensure that different interests and priorities are aligned in the best interests of all your members? Very difficult challenge.
It is, because there's, for one thing, there's competing areas of energy, energy supply. Although I think we've moved beyond competition per se, it now is try to make it better and make it cleaner, make it more affordable and available. And those are I think the key issue right now is not so much competition, because we need all the energy we can get, because even though we're exporting some of it, but that's key in our international relationships. So with respect to LNG, in some cases, oil, coal in certain circumstances, it's a reality that a lot of the world still, a huge percentage of the world still depends on coal for electric power generation. So you see this incredible mix of issues, incredible mix of countries, of philosophies, and yet somehow, some way, it continues to chug along and still work. Although there's stresses right now, obviously the Ukrainian-Russian situation is extreme stress. The role that China is playing now and in the future, another point of extreme stress. And in the Middle East is and Turkey, they're key in this too. So you see this big world picture, and you see, well, where does America sit in that? You know, we're fighting our own internal issues with respect to what fuel should be supported, or what supply, I should say, because in some cases it's not fuel per se, solar, et cetera. Solar wind is not fuel per se, but how do you get this to happen, and how does it fit into the needs of the country, when you need it, how you need it, and also on the worldwide stage?
And you definitely, I have to agree with you. And I guess sitting in these seats, you see the big picture, you see the connection. And sometimes another area that's difficult, at least maybe I find it difficult, is trying to explain to our members who have different perspectives and priorities that let's look at the bigger picture together and come to the solution that we're looking for. Sometimes it's challenging to get people, even though we're at the table together, to really just kind of, you know, join in some kind of consensus. So you brought up several reasons why it's clearly a challenge. But you do it well. You've done it well for a long time. And every year you have a very esteemed event, and you bring together energy and utility industry leaders. And I had the honor of speaking at your last one, which is a couple of weeks ago, the 19th annual State of the Energy Industry. Tell our listeners about how and why you started the forum, and just talk a little bit about why it's so important to bring together different associations that seem to have little in common, but we find out by the time we break for lunch, we find out that we have a lot in common right under that roof.
Yes, and I think, you're at the heart of that. UTC is right at the heart of it. And that's why your contribution was so significant in that circumstance, where you have the oil people talking, you have the gas people talking, you got the coal people talking, you got solar and wind and so on. And then, people are just oriented totally towards conservation, for lack of a better term, economic utilization of energy, environmental issues, more than on the supply side, supply and delivery side. But we still know that in this country, we need energy supply and we need delivery systems, and they all need to talk to each other. And so that's why you're at the center of this. And this, it's lifeline. It's like saying, well, you know, the body would be great if we didn't have to use that. You know, if we didn't have a nervous system, we wouldn't even notice the difference. Yeah. Well, right. You still need a nervous system.
Absolutely.
So you need that nervous system. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good point. And maybe part of the magic is you just hearing you talk, because I, and seeing you in action, bringing everyone together, because once again, we will all, and you do this every year. I've had the pleasure of participating now, I guess, in three years. And every year I'm amazed even more at, like, wow, she brings together the group. It's like bringing together the lions, the tigers, and bears. Oh my, everybody's together and they're peaceful and really working towards a common goal. So some of the magic is definitely you, but thank you for that. Now, I read so many accomplishments. I think, like I said, that is just amazing. And I know we have not listed all of them. So as a person at the top of the energy industry and legal profession, you have been an inspiration to me. I've said that time and time again, and I will continue to say that. But so many others. But we both know what it takes to get there. What would you tell someone just entering the field or deciding on a career that you wish someone had told you, maybe?
First, love yourself. I know that sounds primitive, but if you don't respect and love yourself and take care of yourself, and then your family, of course, then you won't have a minute's peace and you can't move on. It makes it so difficult, regardless of what profession, but particularly in high stress, high stakes professions like we're in. You've got to be able to control and command your own feelings and kind of be able to go out onto the battlefield when things may not be so pretty back at the ranch. You know, just because you're out there and you're there representing your industry or your association, and you just have, and, you know, as a lawyer, it doesn't make any difference what's going on back at your house. If you got to go and stand and deliver on a multi-zillion dollar or more significantly supply or availability or security, you have to put that off there and deal with it later. And I think that's one of the things you really have to focus on is that professional women, I think, have particular, oh, it's not just women, but let's just say professional women, particularly because mother, wife, et cetera, whatever, you have those other obligations. And so try to, I won't say control, but try to put those in the box. I mean, you're here, you've got a lot riding on your professional moment in the sun for your client and, you know, your association, and that's it. You know, I mean, people may care, you know, they care as a human being, but they still, if the ship goes down, they don't care what's going on back at the shore.
Exactly. Yes. I know that this is a audio and people can't see my face, but my face is just in awe again, because I've spoke to Sheila about this. She has definitely inspired me and telling me the same solid gold advice. Because when you sit in these roles, and I think it's important to tell people who are thinking about the careers and they're wondering, well, I don't know, is that going to fit in as a wife, a mother, a father? Sheila allowed and others too, for me to know, yes, you can, but you have to do what she said. Take care and love yourself. Because even though it does seem very simple and basic, it is quite complex. Because when you don't do that, the balance is off. And you are, she is 100% accurate. If the ship is going down, no one is going to stop and ask you about the other things that you're trying to juggle in your mind. So, but the bottom line, though, the positive takeaway that I want all of our listeners to get is it's doable. She did it. I'm doing it. I'm trying. And other, so many have. And like she said, it's not just women. It's all types of people from different backgrounds. That's what I keep reminding people that diversity is about. It's sometimes you could have a speech impediment. It could be where you're from. You're used to a different cultural interaction. So people feel different in different situations. So that advice is applicable to everyone. And I wish we had time. I begged her to write a book, and I'm hoping she will. She shared some definite personal stories of her struggle and her journey and how she's come out to where she is. And that in itself is inspiring. So I do want us to really amplify, not to underestimate these stories, these personal journey stories, because that's the real example of fortitude, resilience, dedication, knowledge, brilliance, whatever descriptive words we want to use. So I thank you for that, Sheila. That was fantastic. Before we go, what do you see, you know, because we already said you're one of the great legal minds, what do you see as being the key legal and regulatory issues facing our members, perhaps now in the immediate or in the immediate future?
Well, you're at the heart of it, and that is cybersecurity. It's security. Man, to me, that's as central as supply itself. I mean, if you can have all the supply in the world, but if your communication systems don't work, it becomes irrelevant. It's just sitting there. It's just like great jewelry sitting in a box. I mean, right. It's useless without the availability of communications too. And so I'd say that is right at the top of my list. Obviously, very, as far as energy goes, environmental consequences of energy development, delivery, utilization, that's huge. So that's sort of always on my mind as to what's going on there. But I think that the potential for attacks on our communication system is looming as large as anything in our world, not just in the U.S., but in other parts of the world where you could go, Europe, wherever. But it's key. Other issues, energy poverty, it's heartbreaking. And 30% of the world has no electric power, just none, zero, nothing. Right. And 70% of the world, well, probably of that 70%, 35% has inadequate, shaky, incomprehensibly expensive that it becomes irrelevant to the people who need it. So those are the sorts of things that I think are of huge concern on the energy playing field.
I totally agree with you on the security side. And when we talk about security, regulatory, I know some of the conversations I've had, what we find is basically the ones on the not so good side, they're ahead of what we are doing on the good side as far as regulatory controls. And sometimes we're getting it a little bit, I want to say, too much red tape, federal, state, local, yeah. A lot of competing, and we're missing the mark of, you know, actually protecting. So I definitely agree with you with security. To be quite honest, security goes personal and professional, because I was thinking just the other day, we had a power outage, but it was like, no, okay, I'm thinking no bad weather, you know, whatever. It's underground fiber, blah, blah, blah. So I started thinking attack right off the top. And I started thinking, you know, are we prepared in our home and calling people? So that same thinking is in the office or in this space for our members. Are we prepared? What are we doing? Both on the regulatory side, and the technology side and the communication side, what is our backup plan? So you're absolutely right, because that's an area that we can't afford to be behind, and it keeps evolving so quickly. So I agree with you. And the energy poverty, absolutely, you know, I had a conversation with someone and they're saying, well, you know, yeah, many years ago, people didn't even have electricity. And it's not even that long ago. But the reality is, now that we have it and we know what we can do with it, to not have it now would see a very fast decline. You're talking about telemedicine, you're talking about education, you're talking about the ability to have meetings just like we're having right now that may not have been able to take place without electricity or been very difficult. So there's a lot of challenges. It opens up opportunities to what you're talking about with that poverty. Technology and energy allow individuals to study across seas, to learn about issues over the pond. But in the past, that was not very easy. I'm not going to say it was impossible, but it was not easy. And it created great disparity. So when I look at when the FCC is trying to close the digital divide, it's huge, huge. And it just speaks to what you said about energy poverty. And I agree with that, as well as cybersecurity at the top.
And you look at the situation just in that, in this situation in Ohio, where how badly things can go so suddenly, and our apparently limited ability to respond. That is scary. That is a case in point of how close we are to the edge all the time. We got a lot of moving parts in this country, and one part affects the other. I mean, the water supply, basic life.
You are absolutely
these are
right.
Things that, these are the things that scare me. The blackout of 2000, that the whole blackout of basically Toronto and the entire East Coast, never really been solved as to what happened. And I was involved, very deeply involved in that, in the congressional hearings, sitting in on a congressional hearing. The focus on cybersecurity, communications capabilities, has got to be at least as front and center as environmental.
Agreed. And you're right. Keep what they always ask, what keeps you up at night? Yeah, that keeps us up. And I know one thing that keeps me up too is so many avenues. You know, you got the technology side that's trying to come up with a solution, like you said, the hearings, you got the, you know, making sure that our lawmakers are educated, aware, but you also have the side of just your family members, everyday people who are not involved in the energy sector, but it obviously affects them as well. And their limited knowledge of, wow, this, because I think a lot of people just think as America, we are great and we will be, we're resilient and there's nothing that can, that we can't figure out. And I believe that too, wholeheartedly. I wholeheartedly do. But I think we underestimate what it takes to do that.
Hey, we're not Switzerland. We're not Switzerland.
Yeah, we underestimate what that takes. So there's a lot, but you're right. It is at the top. Security is definitely at the top. I don't know anyone that should not be thinking about it and impact and trying to get involved. Especially, I mean, just going through the pandemic. The pandemic was a huge wake-up call for all of us, whether it was remote working, online learning, where you had to rely on, and you started to see, wow, you started to learn, wow, I have access to internet where several people did not. And
we're never going back.
Never going back.
It's going to be entirely dependent on communications.
No.
Our world is entirely dependent on communications. It's never going back to, you know, the U.S. mail.
No.
And not going back to, if you, you know, to get a telegram. That would take some doing if there was a complete outage. You couldn't even do that. So, you know, what are we going to do? Get the Pony Express? I don't know.
I don't know. Because we have several groups in our society that we have to even educate how to even utilize this technology. You know, when it came to the vaccine, when it first came out, and I remember they were saying you had to go online, and then there were several groups from elderly, from tribal, urban areas, rural areas.
People that don't have computers.
Exactly.
In a world that don't have a computer still. And in this country, there's plenty of them.
Oh.
And the kids weren't going to school, so they couldn't go in and even plug their computer in at school. Nothing.
Well, I have to stop myself because this topic right here, this to me could be just an ongoing topic that we need to have constantly. Yeah. We're having it constantly in many tables, but we need to have it even more because just these perspectives that we're bringing up, sometimes when we're talking at other tables, trying to come up with solutions, we are not remembering to bring in the human aspect and how this is really detrimental to us as a society. Like you just said about the children not learning, our future is not so bright because we won't be able to compete with other countries with the scholars are highly educated if we're behind.
Right.
So it can affect us in many ways. And those scholars of today are the ones that are going to come up with the technology solutions to solve the cybersecurity issues, the economic energy issues. So we need them to become educated and utilize that brain power that they have. So it's very important that we leave none of them out. But I'm going to stop. It has just been amazing, like I knew it would be, to catch up with you. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close this episode?
I think, there's one thing, interestingly enough, at our big conference that we had, it was amazing the number of women heading up organizations, which did my heart good. And it was great. And I just want to say for the women, I think the women, the more technically capable they can get on technology, qua technology, not just policy, but good technology, and the more education that you can make available and encourage among women, minorities, people, we're going to need everybody in on this. That's where I think we need to really focus in our educational system, to pick out people that can really lead and really help and give it all we got to make sure that they get there and that other people can benefit from that too.
Yeah, that is an excellent point to leave off on, because it did. Even several members in my staff were like, wow, there's so many women. They said it did everybody's heart good. And that's good, because that means there is progress. And I think if we can just bring out even more that it's not just a good feeling, it's actually a benefit. You have a whole other perspective. And like you said, trying to help foster working with academia, working with the Department of Education, you know, and wherever, because we need to start as soon as possible to try to help young ladies or, you know, underrepresented groups to know, hey, not only is this an option, but it's a fantastic option, because you get to serve your community, you get to serve your world, because I remember when I was in my 20s, everybody in their 20s, I think, wants to make the world a better place. So you get to do that in this space. And I think that the more we can create, not just spread the word, but actually create an environment or a society that is actually showing this is real. This is a great opportunity. And it is because of people like you, Sheila Halls, that we see more, because one of the biggest things is to feel welcome. If you don't feel welcome into the industry, you won't stay into the industry. So you've done that, and you've done it for a while. That's why the title of this podcast is Industry Legend. You are a legend. And
there's a joke about being a legend in your own mind. That's a Southern joke. She was a legend in her own mind.
Well, no, you are a legend to many of us. And it was evident. That's one way that we see the fruit of your labor. So thank you again, Sheila. This has been fantastic. I hope everyone enjoys this podcast. I hope they listen to it over and over again and have an opportunity to look up USEA and see what they're doing. If you're in that space, look up utc.org and see what we're doing and how we can partner together. Because let's also remember a takeaway from this. Sheila is about collaboration. She brings together all of the industry leaders every year to talk about the state of the energy industry. So please, let's get together and a call to action. Thank you again, Sheila. Thank you so very much. It's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection. For more information about the Utilities Technology Council, visit utc.org.